want to welcome everyone. We have individuals joining us from the East Coast, the Midwest, West Coast, Canada, China, parts of Europe. This is truly a global topic, and I want to welcome everyone to Keeping on Track Open Line. Topic is social networking and its role in business. My name is Dana Barocca. I'm the CEO of Lighthouse Consulting Services, and we'll be hosting our program today. We have a few housekeeping items, and we'll jump right into our topic. For those of you joining us for the very first time, Lighthouse provides in-depth work style and personality assessments for both new hire candidates and for staff development. We also offer a number of workshop topics to associations and trade organizations. And if you'd like more information on that, please email me as indicated on your screen. Our Keeping on Track Open Line series is in response to a number of calls we've been getting from many of our clients, both domestically and globally, to address the various business issues that most organizations are facing today. Our goal is to make this an interactive program. So on your screen, you'll see an area you can send questions or ideas during our discussion, and we'll attempt to respond to as many of you as possible. So please join us with your thoughts and insights you have along the way. We do have quite a number of people in this program today, so we are going to continue our Q&A at the end of the program if we don't get to them during the regular show. You'll also want to have some paper and a pen handy to take notes, since we'll be sharing a lot of ideas that you'll want to consider and implement with your team and trusted advisors. Again, on the right-hand corner of your screen, you'll see an icon, a print icon. You can print out the slides at any time. Our special guest who's with us today is Michael Udvich, who is a longtime friend, business colleague, a very cool guy. He has over 30 years' experience in strategic communications, smart product launches, and business development marketing. Michael has worked with high-tech organizations ranging from Fortune 500 global firms to startups who are local and regional or domestic to define a deep and relevant customer value proposition that impacts branding, marketing, and sales. He also is an award-winning author of over 9 books on the subject of high technology software and speaks on the topic of new technologies, including Web 2.0 and social networking. I feel privileged to have Michael with us today and to share ideas that will help each of us in preparing for the future and for dealing with today's business issues. Also, registration for our next program will begin at the end of today's program, and the topic will be decision in an ever-changing environment. What we're about to cover in today's topic is just scratching the surface, and we're going to actually provide another program on this topic later on in the year sometime, and we will let you know when that takes place. Michael, welcome, and thank you again for joining us.
Well, thank you for the introduction, Dana. I really appreciate it, and it's really delightful to be part of the Open House program. I'd like to focus your audience on the issues on social networking that we face today. And the theme of this presentation, as you know, is titled, Who Are You? And I'd like everyone listening to really begin to focus on that question, because social networks are a means of reaching and presenting yourself to the world. They are a global tool where you can present yourself, your business, your initiatives and offerings out to people who you have never met socially. You have just simply, they see you profiled on a computer screen. And one of the really the deeper skills we all need to develop about social networking is how to present ourselves and define who we are. So my focus today on this presentation will not be to talk about the mechanics of Twitter or Facebook or LinkedIn. I'll certainly talk about using those tools as it applies, but I'd like to focus everyone here today more on the content, on how you present yourself and how you present yourself in a way to win with social networking for your business. Does that make sense?
Yes, that's well framed.
Okay. I'd like to begin by simply stating out that one way you understand how social networking can work for your business is to understand that it's capable of creating different outcomes than other media. So now we're going to look at a set of what-ifs. Let's take a look at What if you could instantly find the connections in your network to meet anyone in the business world that you wanted? And I'll say, as a test for one of my presentations, I tested to see how close I was in LinkedIn to the President of the United States. As it turned away, I was one person away. I had one person who could link me to the President. So one of the powers of social networking is that it shows us how we can map to people in business and build those connections dramatically. How would you like to be able to monitor alliances and connections between your clients, partners, and competitors on demand? Using some of the social networking tools available, you can watch not only what your competitors put up or your partners put up on a website, but you can watch the interactions as they interplay through networks like LinkedIn and Facebook and see how those social interactions play out. This is something you could never do before using other media. The other issue as we go into Web 2.0 as opposed to Web 1.0 is more of the tools that we have now, like Twitter, are much more interactive. And that means you can broadcast. You can use Twitter as your own personal broadcast network if you have a suitable message that's going to reach followers of interest. And let me remind everyone here to focus that this doesn't cost you anything. What it really costs you is the time and effort you put into framing your issue, but just the ability to reach the world through these broadcast tools is astonishing. Increasingly, through networks like Facebook, we're creating the opportunity to bring customers and prospects together in a kind of a social store. And I've seen a number of vendors and a number of companies getting their customers talking about their products, suggesting use for their products, so that the customers are becoming part of the sales process through socializing around products and services. That, again, is a new dimension of our future. When we get into LinkedIn and some of the other services, they give you the opportunity to demonstrate your expertise in groups and answering questions so that you can actually showcase your expertise, and people around the world who have maybe never met you can still respond to your expertise and the input that you have, and you can build relationships with them based upon how you talk and what you see directly through these channels. And the final point I would make, and it's a very important point for all social networking, is that when you present yourself or your company, one of the things you want to be aware of is you're not only just marketing to your customer, you're also marketing to what I call the influence network. You're marketing to those people who can influence your ultimate customer. If they know what your offering is and they think it's valuable, they can talk to your ultimate customer and they can say, I think this company, this individual is really valuable. So social networking allows you to create that network that will drive not only your customer potentially to be interested in you, but the people who influence them to be interested in you.
Michael, we have a question. I'd also like to encourage, as we're going through the program today, to ask questions through the, you'll see an area on your screen. You can actually submit a question, and we do have one. Since this process appears to be such a broad net, how does an organization focus to build a relationship with a potential client? And also, you know, we have a couple more that have come in around that same question, that it is so broad, and how to focus. Any thoughts on that, Michael? Or are we going to cover that later?
And again, I think later in this presentation we'll talk about the idea of a social networking plan, which really is essentially, it has a lot in common with a marketing plan, but it essentially goes down to what your objectives are. And your objectives really will determine how you want to use the social networking universe. For example, let's just say for a moment you're a financial services company. There are There are some smaller social networks that will focus on special areas or niche areas. You can also use a network like LinkedIn to define your profile narrowly around keywords and focal points that you're looking for. And I might suggest that just in general, one of the sort of underlying art forms of using these networks is really understanding your keywords, the key areas you want to be associated with, so that you can integrate those in any offering you want, because that will help accelerate Google to search around you and those words and link you up to a more focused way around what you're looking for.
Michael, I want to take one more question, then we're going to move into your web presence, because I think it's really important. Somebody asked a question. Do you believe that, quote, click-to-place will ever replace face-to-face?
I don't think anything will ever replace face-to-face, but I think these what we are moving into is a series of virtual interactions that will come to some percentage degree close to it. For example, we will interact with people directly over the internet, face to face, through video and audio communications. But I think it's really important to understand those are always at some level a step away from true face to face. But
okay.
as more people get used to this, I think the difference will begin to fade.
And this is part of the marketing mix. It's not the whole.
It's not the whole of the marketing mix, but because of the attitudes, and I'll talk about that here in a minute, the attitudes this brings to the equation, it is changing the way that a lot of people and a lot of companies are presenting themselves in a lot of other media. One principle of new media that I have found over 30 years' experience is that new media tend to retroactively reshape the older media. So the stuff the new media brings to the table will begin to reflect itself back in things like television and all this other stuff. They begin to pick up some of the habit patterns that these new things will bring in.
Okay. So it's an evolving process.
It's an evolving process.
Okay. Why don't we go to this next slide, slide number four.
Right. We're going to talk here today about what I call your web presence. And I think it's useful for everybody before you begin to look at your social networking goals and outcomes is to understand your web presence, and I'll just define that very, very simply. Your web presence is the sum total of all the touch points or the various memberships and involvements you have on the internet. For example, you have a website, you have an email address, you may have a Twitter account, you may have a Facebook account or LinkedIn. If you add up all of those presences, all those elements, they collectively make up the elements that contribute to your overall impression that you make on the web. For those of you who want, if you search my name on Google, you'll find I have over 20 pages, maybe 30 pages on Google. Or if you search me on Amazon, you'll see another one. I have web presence in Amazon and Google. And you might also find that the best way to test your own web presence is to search for your own name on Google. For those of you who have more common names, you should use the technique of placing your own name in quotes and maybe an identifying term like the name of the company you work with. That will help you narrow down. But when you see your own, the feedback from Google, that will be a first indication of this is what my web presence is. This is what other people see when they're searching for me.
Well, also, what's interesting on this topic, I want to welcome, we just had another 100 people or so sign in, and on the right, lower right-hand side, you can print out your slides. You'll see a print icon. What's fascinating to me is that this particular topic and the number of people that are attending our program today are global, from all over the world, China, Europe, United States, Canada. And everyone has a touch point here on the web, which is fascinating to me. We're all talking the same language, even though a number of people speak different languages or multiple languages.
Yes. So just picking up the line where we started, your web presence is that sum total of all of these pieces. For the last 20 years, it's been very common for people to have only two touch points on the web. They might have an email address, and they might have a website. With social media, people will have many more touch points. You will start having more accounts. You might have a blog, a Twitter, a LinkedIn, a Facebook. You're going to start having a lot of different touch points. And so one of the challenges for you presenting yourself consistently and marketing well is to tell your story and engage the online conversation. You want to tell your story clearly and consistently so that when people encounter you, they're going to have a sense of what is called authenticity. They're going to have a sense that there's a real person there, because that's what has happened with social media. They are, rather than talking to a website that has just sort of a company message on it, people want to feel in social media that they're talking to a real person. And one of the urgencies, one of the issues I want to focus all of you on today is how to tell your story through these media. And I'll be using LinkedIn and Facebook as sort of anchor examples, but the principles we talk about today will apply to a lot of other social media, in fact, all of them. So I'm going to move to our next slide. And I'd like to talk for a moment, just simply about how we have, in the past, when we write a resume, oftentimes a resume or a description of our own individual skills, we will talk in the past tense. We will talk in the past and say, well, this is what I've accomplished, and these are the achievements I've had, and this kind of thing, I did this in my education and everything else, titles, etc. And the important thing to understand for everyone is that we're moving now in social media and in computers generally from a culture of paper to a culture of the screen. A paper is sort of static, and it captures things that happened in the past, and that's what all these things here on this sheet are. The screen, however, is alive and electric. The screen is all about where you are now. And so one of the key facets that I focus people on today in telling your story online is, who are you now? Not who were you yesterday. And let me use as an example my own LinkedIn profile. When I wrote my LinkedIn profile, I tried to focus on the kind of learning that I had experienced in my career over time. I said, I have learned over time how to work in intangibles and help companies discover how to really use metaphors and storytelling to make their products attractive and exciting and very accessible to their customer. But the whole thing was written in the present and written more as a sense of, I can do this for you today, rather than, I did this in the past yesterday. And it's very important for all of us, again, coming back to the themes that I mentioned before of understanding your keywords and your positioning, to understand that conveying a sense of your uniqueness, your authenticity, you know, how do you look at the world, what is your angle on life, what is your approach, is really important in making people see you as an individual through this computer screen. Because that's one of your biggest tasks, is for people to walk away feeling that you're an individual with individual value. Do you have any comments on that, Dana?
That's about the individual. How do you make sure that the people that are in the organization are representing the organization, not just themselves? Because they're supposed to represent their organization.
Well, and that's the thing. When we talk about doing, and let me just infer from your question, let's try the idea that we're going to have a group of executives or managers appearing on LinkedIn. I think as a group or a company exercise, the first thing you're going to have when you do a social networking plan is you're going to talk about the themes that you want to talk about, that the company that are allied to everyone in the company. And I think at that point, when you have that foundation, at that point you can talk then from the individual where, for example, an individual manager might, in their profile, use examples of specific accomplishments or achievements in serving customers that would help establish what that individual does, but it would be filtered through the background of the core values of the company so that everybody who is coming through from that company would have that clarity coming through. And ideally, we don't want to be using the same exact text in everybody's profile. But I go to the questioner and say that the real core of what you're asking goes down to how you plan this. You should not, by any means, have all your executives run off on their own and just start writing profiles.
That's a good point, and everyone needs to hear that. This is a group activity, and then you all think about this, plan it out, and then execute it, which we'll be discussing later on in the program.
Yeah, and I really want to focus people on the idea of what I will call interactive storytelling. I did a series of articles in a book published in Germany 4 or 5 years ago on interactive storytelling. We're in the process here of writing a story people will read through your LinkedIn profile, and as people respond to that story, they may ask you questions about it. It's going to be a kind of a basis of a dialogue. So I really want people to be aware that these profiles and things you put in and information you put into your LinkedIn and Facebook are living documents, and they're things that other people are going to talk to you about. So,
Michael, somebody just asked, could you give an example, just a real quick example of a business storyline, what that might look like?
I can go to an example. I had a client that I worked with a couple of years ago, and we were building a lot of pieces around this, and he had a diverse number of seminars and programs that he used for alumni of the University of California, and he was going to present these seminars to get these people into new jobs and into new careers. And he had just a diverse, scattered bunch of things around, that really rich stuff on the internet. And we all integrated it under the idea of career moves, and we started using a term, career moves, as an epicenter of the whole idea. And then from that began to build and reflect that into his LinkedIn, into all of the marketing material that went through the internet, that went through blogging commentaries he had. He shared information through the university that came out in all media, in print and everywhere. So we started, I would say, with a core, simple storytelling spine, two words, career moves. And we played that out in layers over different media, so that there still was that common point of reference, and there was a strong interactive value to the audience.
So whether someone is in security or construction or banking, or it doesn't matter what it is, this is part of the marketing strategy in order to tell the story to the marketplace and attract them in.
Yeah, and again, for example, In an industry like construction, where we've had this whole set of turmoil in the marketplace with the housing market that's gone up and down, I think this is a perfect example to reinvest in the whole notion of quality, talk about how you address the customer, you know, look at how you think the customer's coming to you, whether that's an industrial or a home residential type of customer. It's a real opportunity to use social networking to project the kind of image you want for the company, but also, I think, an accessibility. And one of the nice things about social networking is you can set up these relationships to generate dialogue with prospects and customers, so they can ask you questions about things online. You can set up channels and get them going, get them responding to you, rather than just reading what I might call a static web page or a piece of marketing copy that doesn't really offer them any way of interacting.
Okay, so it's a way to engage. Anyway, let's go to the next slide, because that's really helpful.
Okay. I'd like to I'd like to talk here a bit about the social networking plan. And we will be talking more in a subsequent presentation about the social networking plan. But let me just talk quickly to a few points here. The first thing you begin with, and let me just say that I think a lot of people, the mistake a lot of people make with social networking is they try to do everything all at once too fast. I think the real important thing you do before you start getting your Twitter and your blog and everything rolling around is to understand what you want to accomplish. Where is your company? Where are you individually right now? What are your immediate objectives in terms of are you looking to build your customer base? Are you looking to present yourself to get a job? Are you looking to reposition your company vis-a-vis all this different economic turmoil we've been dealing with? Are you looking to make some changes? If you understand what your objective is, your storytelling will follow naturally. You then, I think, want to look at gathering the information that you're going to use in the storytelling and really get it clarified and understood. And you want to identify very specifically, as some we talked earlier in this presentation, the focus, this whole broad-based thing. Who are the targeted individuals and groups of people you wish to interact with? Because that, again, these three elements, your objective and your focus, the information you have and the individuals and targeted groups you wish to reach will have a big shaping effect upon how you use social networking.
Michael, a question came in. How does someone not sound brash or an organization not sound brash as a know-it-all, which could come across as being unprofessional, let's say? Any thoughts on that?
Well, I think it's a good question. It's a very good question because, again, we're in a situation where when you have open channels with a customer, you have the risk factor that you're going to have people who may contest or have questions about you and maybe pose questions that you have to answer online. And I know a lot of companies are uncomfortable with that. And so on this level, I think the first level is trial and error. I think you have to begin, if you will, slow and just, you know, state your values, state confidently what you can do. I think you should also make a point of what I will call cross-marketing and looking at all of your competitors or contingent companies and looking at the level of voice that they're taking in their presence to the extent that it is. Because this is a good way of understanding what audience expectations are and what is accepted in the marketplace. The short answer is no, you don't want to look arrogant, I think, is the issue. Being confident, giving a good product, being strong in your confidence, I think that's perfectly fine. But the slight hedge there is if you appear to be overbearing or if you appear to be arrogant, which is making claims that you cannot sustain, then the audience will react negatively to you. And that would not be a good thing. I mean, that the audience can feed back to each other, and there's going to be some problems with that.
And remember, whatever anybody posts, it's being documented. See, that's why the planning needs to be so well thought out, let's say. Is that correct, Michael?
Yes, you do, and I think you also need to be very attentive to your customer service units in a company environment. You need to have well put together customer service task team that's really there to monitor your presence on these social networks, especially at first, and just watch how people respond, track how they respond, be there to answer questions proactively. Don't have people posting questions on your Facebook presence and don't respond to them. Really make an effort to monitor where you are and respond, because that's very important.
Let's go. Why don't we go to the next slide?
All right. And as we continue on the social networking plan concept, the the content that we want to talk about, video, audio, presentations, I think that's fairly evident. Again, I think one of the things that I would point out is that video content can go in through links, and you can place a lot of these different things into your social network. I think it's important to select these things for the maximum degree of impact. There is such a thing as overloading an audience. And one of the things that you want to think about is perhaps having a few select videos and presentations. If you have too many, the audience may get confused or they may get scattered, and the impact will get diffused. So what I've observed a number of my clients do is they'll place a signature video piece or a presentation they want attention on their Facebook or LinkedIn, and they will alter it or they'll cycle it with something else so that they'll keep the energy fresh. The next step, of course, is to select the actual social media that you need to make your purpose, to meet your purpose. And the two large social networks that are the most well attended are LinkedIn for business and Facebook for personal and for general market, I gather. There are people who use Facebook for business, but there are a few challenges with that because it is more relaxed, it's more personal, and frankly, it's not as secure in the way that your name and brand is handled, because people who are in your network can post pictures on their site that relate to you. So Facebook is something that takes a little bit of extra time to get used to. For those of you who have not used Twitter yet, one recommendation I make is that even if you're not preparing to use Twitter, you might want to secure an account now that matches your URL. Like if your company URL is excellentmedia.com, you would go out and try to get that name, Excellent Media, at Twitter right now, just so you have it, so that you have that connection and that parity with Twitter when you wanted to activate it. Twitter is a medium that requires a little bit more careful planning in terms of how you wish to both gather followers to watch you and to send out messages to them.
Well, I actually, a dozen questions here on what about Plaxo? That's gotten a lot of play.
Well, Plaxo, as I understand it, and again, I can't say that I'm sure that I know the answer. That I believe Plaxo is owned by LinkedIn or is an affiliate with it. But Plaxo is like is sort of the same thing as LinkedIn is, and I think it started out as a tool to help update your information on all of your associates' computers, and I think they've added a number of services to it. It does not have the full range of service that LinkedIn does, but I'm part of it. I am in it and involved in it. But I have to say that my focal point is on LinkedIn. I think of Plaxo as sort of a subset or a secondary tool.
Okay. That was interesting how it got the response because you hadn't mentioned it.
Yeah, I mean, it's valuable, but I think that you know, there's a figure that came out in a presentation in a discussion I had last week that 80% of U.S. businesses are using LinkedIn for recruiting, for job hunt, for searching for employees, for hiring. LinkedIn has so established dominance in the business universe, and it's growing dramatically, that I believe that what's happening with LinkedIn is that for a lot of people, your LinkedIn profile will be the first credible contact they get. If you're referred to them, someone refers an associate to you and they search you on Google, the chances are pretty good they're going to end up on your LinkedIn profile, and that may be considered more credible than your website would be if you have one.
What about the timing?
The timing is really important in the sense that I never encourage people to run before they can walk. You know, I mean, the important thing is to get a profile set, to establish the media you're going to do, and to really monitor some of these things clearly at first and get solid confidence that you're putting the message out and getting the reaction you want. I'll give you one example of a client that had that went a little bit heavy duty into a Facebook presence right away and put out some information, you know, because you can establish a company area on Facebook as you can on LinkedIn for companies, and you can put these things together. They put out something on Facebook, and they and you know their product was a computer software product, and what they experienced was sort of a lot of crosstalk and questions from different sources that tended to confuse their message, and so they needed to stop and slow down, clarify the message, and address some of the questions, and to just generally stabilize where they were on how much effort they wanted to put on Facebook versus, say, LinkedIn and other sources. So timing, I give yourself 3 months when you first start out. If you don't have a web presence already in terms of social networking, you set your objectives, you build your first set, you start out with your chosen media. Maybe let's say that's a blog, a small blog, and a LinkedIn presence or a Facebook presence. For your blog, you can keep it simple, three articles a week. And what I usually recommend for people starting a blog is that you can start a simple blog and you can pick articles relevant to your topic or of interest out of newspapers or media that are out there, and even write a front-end commentary on the article that just says, here's our point of view on some news that's happening in our business. It's very easy to write a paragraph of commentary and then link people to the article. And in so doing, you can build a voice fairly easily on a blog. And you do this 3 times a week for a few weeks, a month, and you slowly will find yourself getting very easy to put together these little pieces that'll keep your blog moving. So,
just a quick question. Somebody asked what some people, organizations have PR firms they work with, or they have internal marketing folks. How much time, because someone could get all absorbed in this, how much time should be devoted to blogging or social networking in a week's time, let's say?
Well, for every company, it's going to be a different thing, and it comes back to your level of planning and your level of objective. If you're a company, you probably do want to have a PR agency, some support if it's going to be a lot of presence you want to generate. Just understand that the risk there is that your presence, especially in open networks like Facebook, may end up looking a little canned. For example, some companies will have an individual on Facebook that you can interact with directly and chat with them or interact, you know, so that they get a sense that there's a real person at the other end. But if you end up with that feeling that there's a corporate voice just repeating marketing messages, you're ultimately going to lose in this medium.
Okay, so if some internal is assigned to the task and you have it blocked out as part of the marketing mix again, then it gives a real voice from the organization versus just making it a can.
Right, and for my part, for my business, I devote anywhere from 30 minutes to an hour every morning where I go through, look at my basic articles that I have incoming in. I do my reading. I will go through and look at LinkedIn. I'll look at all the different pieces. It's very systematic. I have a checklist. I don't do it randomly through the day. I just treat it as a very concentrated marketing activity to do at the beginning of the day, monitor it, complete it, and then go about my days.
Okay, it's part of the process. Well, let's go to the next slide, because it's part of the process. That's a good point.
Yeah, well, it is, and I think it's very... When we look at something like LinkedIn, remember that LinkedIn is something, and I don't know how, I can't ask for a show of hands on our group here, but I'm assuming everyone here is familiar with it. LinkedIn, I want to point out to everybody, is what I will call a functioning cyber identity. That is to say, it's not your LinkedIn presence is not a document. It's not like a resume. It's a moving target because all of the contacts in your list are constantly changing. The people around you are constantly changing. So every time you open your LinkedIn screen, you're going to see different things because people have been moving around. So it's important to pay attention to, first of all, keeping your contacts up, you know, adding in all contacts. I like to encourage people to add context from casual meetings, like even people you talk to on an airplane. These things are called weak links, people you meet casually. But oftentimes those people will have people in their network who have never met you before. And therefore, those weak links will significantly expand your visibility on a LinkedIn network. And you will be able to see a whole new group of people because those people you talk to meet at a party, someone you've just spoken with very casually. I had a case where I met with someone for coffee at the request of an associate, 45 minutes. A year later, one of her associates contacted me to be a judge at the University of Pennsylvania incubator contest at the end of the year, a very prestigious opportunity, and it just showed up out of nowhere because one of my weak links saw me through the LinkedIn network from this person I met for 45 minutes for coffee. So it's important also to exchange endorsements and to pick out interest groups. When it comes to LinkedIn interest groups, I like to choose those that are actually related to an existing professional association like Vistage or International Association of Management Consultants is one I belong to, but I'm sure all of you have different associations that you belong to. But you can fully extend your professional association clout and visibility by joining these groups. The important point is each of these elements within LinkedIn is a whole series of activities, and as you add information in and participate in these things, you change the way that other people in your network see you, and you make yourself more engaged and available through the network.
Let's go to the next slide. Great information, by the way.
Okay. There we go. So I'd like to make a final point here about how all this sort of begins to come together. If you think about something like LinkedIn or Facebook, and I'm going to emphasize for business people in this call that I think LinkedIn is the better of the two for your business purpose. So LinkedIn is becoming like a foundational identity for you. In other words, it establishes you and your contacts and also allows you to establish links with professional associations and interact. That is a fundamental or a foundational social identity. Now, if you have additional components or elements in your web presence, like a blog, you can now begin to use or what I will call interplay those elements. For example, you write a piece in your blog, and you can quote it, a little link to it in reference on your LinkedIn homepage on what you're doing today. You can use the same link on your Twitter so that it broadcasts out, and your blog article will ideally be something that is really helpful or interesting to the audience, something that is a fact they didn't know or something that demonstrates your expertise without being a hardcore marketing message. So as you play that relationship, you take information from your blog or website and you use Twitter and LinkedIn to distribute it and really get people excited about what you're doing, and keep your presence high, keep yourself visible, because that's a wonderful benefit of social networks. You can keep yourself visible, you can see your contacts, you can see all the people you know who know your contacts, you get a much more intensely connected understanding of the people you work with, and that's the real benefit of all of this. So I would say, you know, more than anything else, when you're marketing yourself, your company, try to avoid, you know, sending out advertising messages mass through social networking. Be a little bit more subtle. Just focus on the expertise, focus on the perspective that you have, and use these networks to reach out and interest your audience. I'm going to go to the final slide here, Dana. And this final slide is really just a summary of what we've talked about up to this point.
Also, when we finish this slide, we're going to be opening up for Q&A. So don't hang up. Don't go away.
Okay. I think I'm ready to go over to Q&A right now. I think we've covered all the points here. And
see ya.
You have any questions right now?
Well, I'm going to answer a couple more questions on the people who have emailed in. Then we're going to try something a little different here and open the line up. Is there much value in replying to others through blogs or tweets?
Say that again.
Is there much value to replying to others when they do blogging or tweeting?
It depends on how you look at that. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that in tweets that are that's just sort of random and people put it up there. So I would just say you have to use your critical filter. If you feel that the something that comes through in a blog or a tweet is important to respond to, yes, by all means. There is no necessary understanding. There's no assumption that you have to respond to these things because these are mass media. People put things out. I would, however, suggest to people that if you're going to do a blog, one of the things you really want to decide for yourself going in is, do I want a lot of response to the material I'm going to come up with? Or am I going to use a blog just to distribute information more and not really encourage as much feedback or questions?
Any examples of a company that's doing this really well as far as putting this into a marketing mix?
Well, you know, I've always thought, you know, like one of my favorite blogs. I know it was a little. I don't have the URL in front, right at the top of my head, but Tom Peters, the author, did a blog. I believe it's still up there. I'll have to look up for the URL, which was just really, really well put together in terms of just really understanding issues of interest to people who are his readers and the way he talked to them and the way the information flow. Was put together. But one thing I can do, we can put together a list and we can post that with the articles and give people some links to go look at of companies that we might want them to write.
That would be great. If you could send that, we'll distribute that to everybody.
Okay.
Another question has come in. Is there an upgrade version of LinkedIn, and is it worth it, and what does that version do versus the basic?
To be honest, I do not use an upgrade version of LinkedIn, and I know several people who have done the first upgrade, which I think is a $19.95 a month, and the essential benefit is it tells you more detail about the people who are viewing your page. So if you look on your LinkedIn page, it's going to say so-and-so many people have viewed your page and whatever, and so that option will give you more of that background. I know some of the higher priced options gives you more ability to sort of mass mail through LinkedIn, but I have not found a need to do any of the paid versions to this point. Let me also make one other note on LinkedIn for everyone here, just so you're clear. There is a culture within LinkedIn called open networking, and open networking, those people are often identified as open networkers or LIONS, LIONS, which stands for LinkedIn Open Networker. If you search the groups on LinkedIn, you'll find LION groups, and what these people do is they agree, in effect, that they will link with anybody, just sight unseen, they will link with anybody, people they haven't met, just to build the size of their network. So people who are LIONS or Open Networkers will often have lists that go into the thousands of connections, but they haven't necessarily met these people organically. They're just exchanging names, and I do not do that myself. I'm not saying people shouldn't do it, but in my experience, people who are in sales and people who have a need to generate huge amounts of contacts will do this. So just be aware if people are contacting you, if they're a lion or they want open networking, that oftentimes what they really want to do is to look at your contacts.
That segues into the next question. As social media continues to grow, how does a company stay important and not be seen as a nuisance or just more noise?
Well, I think there's an issue of, for a company in the marketplace, first of all, to build a community of people who are interested in your products, whatever your products may be. For example, let me just use the example of food companies. I've been working with a couple of companies in the food area these days. And one thing a company can do through these media is to provide valuable information on the use of their products and stuff, and supporting material that would be very helpful to their customer community. For, in the case of food products, information about nutrition, information about any kind, in some cases, food allergies, things like people dealing with a heavy-duty allergies need support and need additional information. There's a variety of companies that are using their presence to, first of all, establish information about their product that's interesting and suggesting ways to use and get value out of the product to sort of, I've actually used the expression perform the product through a social network. You know, put out some triggers about interesting things. In some cases, your customers will actually join in and build the case for you. It's very much, I think, a medium where less is more, and really the more you think about targeting and looking at things that people are interested in, you want to create a presence where you get the audience involved and use that involvement to really expand the involvement with your brand. You don't want to overkill with just masses and masses amounts of advertising and heavy-duty media. Your real objective here always is to bring the audience in at some level and have them participate, because that participation is what makes you look good.
That goes back to the planning. Question on Twitter. Is it bad to secure a Twitter account and not start reporting? Won't it be disappointing if you start something and there's no content to put out?
You know, it's interesting. I think Twitter at this stage is so massive that if you're not posting, I don't think that people will. I mean, you're essentially invisible. There are so many people who are posting. I think it's important when you start with Twitter to, if you're going to do it, is to think again about how can you send out messages that are interesting, proactive, pointers to things that are exciting. I have one Twitterer who is a marketing lady who puts out messages to interesting techniques she finds on the internet, little video clips here and there. But it's always, you always read her stuff because it's always interesting. She's always found something interesting that you care about. But Twitter is a medium I would definitely recommend. You know, get your presence, start building a few followers, and the way you can build followers is start joining, you know, following other people, and people pick up on you.
And if someone is, let's say, a subcontractor in the construction industry, social networking still is part of the marketing plan in order to connect and make sure those organizations are established. Is that true?
Yeah. And again, I think contractor, subcontractor, I think your issue is know your market and know your message, because I think, as I said earlier in the call, the presentation today, that the construction industry has gone through, and the housing industry and the building industry has gone through a whole bunch of change. And so one of the things that's really important here is to have a sense of the message you want to get across through these media, not just that you're there, but really, you know, how you want to present yourself, and really have a sense of the targets, the people you want to reach, whether those are directly your customers or influencers.
And we're going to, and I mentioned earlier in the beginning of our show, we're actually going to put a program together on that topic sometime before the year is out or the beginning of the year. We're going to continue with questions and answers in just a few minutes. We're going to actually open the line up and give it a shot. I'm going to ask everybody to please put your phone on mute, and then if you have a question, unmute and then share. We're going to test it out. If it doesn't work, because we have so many people on the call today on the program, then we're going to go back into the chat box and throw it out that way. You're going to see on your screen right now an area to register for the upcoming October 13th Open Line program, Decision Making in an Ever-Changing Environment. You can register now, and I want to give you guys first crack at that. So please sign up, reserve space. If you have staff or other colleagues you'd like to attend, Paul David Walker will be the guest on that show. Also, in the next few days, we'll be sending a recording and a PowerPoint of today's program, so please feel free to share that. Some organizations actually have their management team attend the Open Line programs and then set aside time afterwards for discussion on the topic, which is super nice. So let's go ahead and open the line. One more question here on the chat box, and we'll open the line up. Are there simple ways to build LinkedIn networks, for example, such as through Outlook contacts?
Yes. LinkedIn has a number of what we'll call harvesters, where you can, if you look through the, where you can search your webmail like Hotmail, Yahoo, and everything else. My recommendation as far as your major business mail is that you download the Outlook toolbar, or I believe they have a toolbar for the Macintosh email program. They have a number of them, and they work in Facebook or in the Internet Explorer. But if you get a toolbar, it'll actually gives you the functionality to go and search through your existing list of email addresses in your email client like Outlook, and then it'll generate a list of all of those people in your list who are already members of LinkedIn connected to that email address, and then it'll give you the option of essentially clicking to invite them. I will make one note about that, though. I'm not particularly wild about mass invites to LinkedIn. If you click on the individual name, it gives you a little box to send a personal note, and I usually like to just send in a little note with their first name and maybe a quick little note in addition to the copy text they have there that just says, you know, I'd really like to have you join my network, and if there's any reason or any personal kind of thing, just to make them feel like you're paying attention and it isn't some sort of database, you know, spam kind of a thing where they're being asked in some formulaic way to do it. But yeah,
how do you protect? Let's say somebody wants to join your LinkedIn, and you let them in, and they really want to join to tap into your network. How do you protect yourself, or tell them no without being rude, or how do you take care of that from a social standpoint?
Keep in mind that LinkedIn is much more structured about how it handles invitations than say something like Facebook does. You should look at your LinkedIn options. You can constrain some people. You can constrain and prevent people from looking at your contacts if you don't want them to. You should note also that when you send invites to people to be in part of your network, people can accept you, they can decline to join, and they can also say, I don't know this person. And LinkedIn does not like it when they say, I don't know this person, because that suggests to them that you're a spammer, that you're using the network inappropriately. And so if you get a number of I don't know this person responses, LinkedIn will begin to contact and constrain you in terms of the amount of invitations it allows you to do. So they want to encourage you always to invite only those people you know. And that's the reason why this Lion community is involved, where everybody more or less just agrees to share contacts to get around that limitation.
Okay, that's great. Let's do this. I'm going to ask everybody to please mute your phone. If you want to share, ask a question, unmute your phone, ask the question. So let's open up the line in just a second and give it a shot again. We have so many people on, and ask everybody to, again, please mute your phone. We'll give this a shot. If not, we'll go back to the chat box. Here we go. Okay, we are unmuted.
Okay.
All righty. Any questions or for Michael? You can unmute your phone and ask the question. See how this works.
This is Michelle Horn.
Michelle.
Hi. So is there to get more savvy about social networking, is there some places that we can go to? Obviously, this was very helpful, but this isn't everything. Mm-hmm. Is there some place that we can go to, a book, or what would you say for the people that are just getting into the social networking arena to put a little more meat in their pockets?
Well, can you tell me what would be, if I were to ask you, what would be maybe the top one or two questions that you feel are the areas you would really like help in? Because I think your first step is to do that, is to say, well, what do I really want to get about this? What do I really need to know? Because that's going to help you target the kind of support you can get. So do you know what your top question is?
Well, I have to say for us, our biggest concern is not to be more noise. So, you know, I guess building a very meaty presence, you know, something that's actually going to offer value as opposed to just more noise.
Well, I'll tell you one of my own informal things, which is I like to look at other people's presence when I get into LinkedIn or, I mean, into LinkedIn or Facebook. And sometimes I'll go on to Google and I'll do searches like, you know, maybe the top 10 company sites on Facebook. You know, I'll do things like that just so I can start reading and take a look at, or I'll look at reviews. I'll look at blogs and reviews. And I think one of the things that's come out of this conversation this morning is probably need to start assembling just a list for this group of some of those blogs and recommended pieces we might want you to see, because the blogs about different aspects of social networking can be a huge advantage. I'll give you one. There's a new book out on marketing on social networking, and it's called Socialnomics. That's social and economic, so it's Socialnomics, Socialnomics. They have a blog if you go to socialnomics.com.
Okay.
And it has a lot. There's, by the way, a wonderful video that they did, which gives you a lot of statistics, very dramatically presented about, and I think Dana's going to put this link up for this video on the system.
It will be.
But The blog will really give you a sense of just the power and impact of social networks. I don't know that it's immediately going to give you the nuance that you want there. Now, I'm going to be regenerating my own blog. I'm actually redoing portions of it, and I'll have it up probably in the next 2 or 3 days, which I call Moving Ideas. And I'll have Dana send a link out to that as well. And there's another one of the leading marketing people on who always has interesting things is a guy named Seth Godin. That's Seth, G-O-D-I-N.
Right.
I don't know that I have his URL right in front of me. But the short answer to your question is, I think, first of all, look for models. Get a sense for what other companies are doing and where you think their boundaries and limits are, because I think that's going to give you a good sense to start off right the very beginning. And the other thing is just to be very, very clear and direct and simple in your message. I mean, I think the rules of thumb we're using for blogging is like 3 articles a week. If you're on Facebook, you know, keep your presence there and keep it direct and simple. You don't want to give people too much to read. And the other thing I think it's really important to keep in mind is when you're doing anything in an interactive context, I think it's important to do what I call triggering. That is, you know, create situations, questions, opportunities for your audience to respond to you. Because this is very much a situation where your audience can create some of your content for you.
Okay.
If you think in terms of giving them a question, a response, a statement, and letting them respond to that and give them feedback, then I think you'll be able to respond much more instinctively to that than if you try to overload yourself on trying to think out every little thing as a marketing message. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
that's good. Thank you, Michelle. That was great. And also, if anybody wants to contact Michael, just talk one-to-one offline or something specific about your business, please, Michael's contact information is on the screen there. Any other questions? We have a few minutes left. Anybody else? All right, we have lots of other questions that come in. Michael will be responding to the various questions that have come in on the chat, so we'll send those over to him. I'm going to put the mute back on for a second. Any other questions for live? Alrighty. Michael, I want to thank you for your time today and for all the valuable ideas that have been shared. If you'd like to contact Michael again, you'll see his information on your screen. You talk about your industry, your association, your company, and Michael will be more than happy to spend time with you. The information shared today is the property of Lighthouse Consulting Services, LLC, located in Santa Monica, California. Our mission statement is to bring effective insight to your organization. If you'd like more information on our services, including in-depth personality assessments for new hires or for staff development, please write me at dana@lighthouseconsulting.com. If you have other topics you'd like us to address, please let us know. Thank you so much for joining us, and we're looking forward to having you join us for our next Keeping on Track Open Line program. Have a great rest of the day.
Thank you, Dana.